Hi, it's Michelle.
And Vicky.
And you're listening to the Uncensored Moms podcast.
It's a mini book club, the very first of its kind, and we're so happy you're here.
Enjoy.
So, can we talk about it at all, or can we not? I mean, I don't want to, obviously, like, whatever, but, like, just generalities, like, just in general.
Okay, in general.
The situation where there's an employee who does fucking nothing for months and then still is like not fired, is still like, and then and is so like, well, if you had a brain, maybe you wouldn't be so mad at me for not doing my job. Mm-hmm. It's just like delusion.
But you know what, I was talking to Werner about it last night, and he goes, I have been that guy before.
No.
And I was like, no. And he goes, no, I've been in that headspace of, you're really young, you're in your early 20s. You don't care about this job at all. He's like, I was on leave. I had a panic attack because I hated my job so much. So I took a medical leave and I kept extending it and I kept extending it. And they'd be like, because I knew if I said I quit, I don't get unemployment. But if they fire me, I'll get unemployment. And I'm like, that is awful. You're making yourself look awful right now. He goes, I know. But I think you have to go through things to learn or change, hopefully. I'm like, I think a lot of people don't ever learn or change, and they're that way the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I've never been that person.
I mean,
sense of responsibility. Like, okay, I've definitely like quit a job that I didn't like, but I always would give 2 weeks. Like, I remember
you're responsible.
I had a friend, a really good friend. We had the same job. We got the same job at the same time. We went to like the job fair together, and either she hated it from the beginning, which like then don't do it, and she would like not show up in like the very first few days, and then one day she just never came in, and I was like, hey, I heard that you didn't go into work, and she's like, oh yeah, I didn't like it. I was like, right, but you didn't call anybody. She's like, oh, I didn't want to go, they'll figure it out.
And yeah, I was like, what
that makes even me, if I hated it, I would still mm-hmm. give 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because I've hated almost every job I've had.
I know. But I think, you know, there is something to be said of when you're in your 20s and like, it's really hard, I think, sometimes to take accountability. Like, I've been fired from Virgin America. Remember?
I remember.
I forgot that my batteries.
Yeah, that doesn't count, I don't think.
But here's the thing. At the time, everyone that loves me and myself was like, can you believe they fired me over batteries? And it's like, that is so stupid. It's like, oh, I know, I would have been an amazing flight attendant. Looking back now, it's like, oh, they wanted people who knew how to follow rules, who are flying in these gigantic.
It wasn't about batteries.
It's right. About the type of person who wouldn't forget every single step, because in an emergency, in a fucking plane,
you're gonna need
people,
those fucking batteries.
You need to remember all the rules of keeping everyone safe in chaos. So,
and even if that is your personality, like even if at one point you did get hired and that was your job, I think it would have set in, but you were still, what it did is it weeded out like the mm-hmm. young people, the immature people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah. And no, that does make sense.
I get it now at 36 years old.
I was listening to a podcast that said something like, oh, it was Carol Burnett, and she was saying that, like, you know, the rule is like you can't be president until you're 35 or something. That's mm-hmm. like the only fucking rule, and you have to be like an
American
citizen.
Which sounds so young for a president.
She was like, it should be 55.
Yeah.
35? No.
That really is a thing, that someone could be technically 35 years old.
Yes, that's a real thing. I think it's around there.
Probably because when the rule was made, they died at set like 68.
No, that is absolutely why. And that's why, like, it's the same thing with the Bible. Like, people using this old ancient book and being like, truth. And then, like, this old ancient constitution being like, we should follow these rules. It's like, the world was completely different back then. What are you even talking about?
I know.
We should have, you know, the Second Amendment, for example, like right to bear arms does not mean I have a right to own 25 AR-15s.
No, people will interpret things the way that it'll suit them best.
Yeah. And it's just
like there
out.
Are Bible verses that say when it's okay to kill somebody else.
Oh, so like when your brother doesn't move your sheep like he said he would. I mean, it's like weird shit.
Yeah,
like that,
it's
right?
Weird shit. But yeah, those crazy like religious psychopath killers use that as a reason, like, well, the Bible told me to, so I'm justified in doing this.
Yeah, I don't like that approach to life.
Mm-mm. Anyway, hi, are you like...
using a book to approach life.
Welcome
to the Umcast Book Club mini episode
now in session.
That's right. Ding, I need a fucking bell.
Oh, perfect.
Ding.
Ding dong, bitches. So, for those of you part of the Umcast Book Club, our first official book, maybe this is the second book.
This is the
second book. Oh, yeah, you're right. This is the second
book. But we did not do an episode on it. And here's the thing with this week is that we recorded an episode. We were fucking high energy this week. And I think we were
going to say we were high. I was like, were we?
We weren't. And we like banged one out. It was over an hour and it was like...
We banged one out.
And didn't even cross our minds, the book club.
Yeah, no, not at all. But you know what? I continue to say this. We had our book club this last night.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice to be like, here's our book club mini recording. And then we also get to announce the next book, which we now know.
Yeah. And it also gives us other people's perspectives about the story.
Yeah. So this book for this month was called Notes
on an Execution. I'm looking at it on my computer.
That's Notes on an Execution by Danya
Kukovka.
Kukovka.
Uh-huh. That's how you say it.
I knew nothing about this book going in. And Vicky was actually the one that suggested this book. So I don't know. For some reason in my mind, I was thinking like, oh, maybe it's a true story. Like a documentary style of like executions or...
The way Vicky likes to read.
You know how... You pick books. And so I'm starting to read it and going, wait, is this real? And then I had to like stop Google. I'm like, okay, no, this is just a story.
It is not real. If you read it, you already know that because you're getting all of the perspectives. You hear from all of the characters. Did you like it? Let's start with, did you like it?
I did. I really did. It was one of those books where I'm like, I can't put this down. I just want to keep seeing where it's going. And... like hear more about his childhood and how did they actually find him?
How did they? Oh,
because
he killed his wife. There's this. Let's just say too. This is full of obvious like spoilers. Like right. You're only here if you've read the book,
and you're only here if you're willing to hear every detail about the book. Because
yeah, that's what you're here for.
Episode is about.
Yeah, yeah. I also liked it, but I wanted to find out what was happening. Like I always wanted. I definitely wanted to finish it and get to the resolution, but I didn't. It wasn't like a page turner for me. It wasn't like I was like eager to read it all the time. I don't know.
I mean, I certainly didn't stay up till 2 a.m. reading it like my other books I have.
Right. It's not like that.
But I was never bored.
No.
Mm-mm. It was like, oh, wow. Ooh, the childhood, like the talking about his childhood.
Yeah. I like that it goes from like time period to time period. I think that keeps it interesting. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I said yesterday when we did our book club in person was that when they went back to Lavender's story, Lavender, his mom, I had already like forgotten her name. Mm-hmm. And I know why. I was thinking about this later. So when she leaves and she goes to California and she walks into the ocean, do you remember this? It was like right after she left and they kind of just leave it like she, and I just thought she killed herself.
Oh.
And so when this person came up later, this woman in California, I was like, okay.
Another one.
Who's this? Yeah. Let's just see where this goes. And then like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 pages into that like part, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, I definitely had to, on my Kindle, go back a few chapters, click on that name again and be like, who was this? Oh, okay, some other. And then I like had to go back.
Okay, yeah. And I did do that at some point. And then I was like, okay, now I can really be invested in this person.
Yeah. But anyway, so this kid, he's like 3 or 5 years old and he's killing animals. Like the mom sees him holding like dead squirrels with their heads pulled off.
Yeah. Well, it was just that one time, but I took it to mean that, yeah, he definitely killed that animal.
But here's the thing. To me, I'm thinking... he had a loving mother. He had a shitty dad. But at that point when she mentioned the dead animal, I'm pretty sure the dad was not abusive to him.
Well, he was abusive to the whole household. Like, he was locking up the food So they weren't eating. They were like starving until he... Oh, yeah,
he was locking up the food.
And he was beating her in front of them.
Was he?
I think he was. Okay. I remember it that way. I remember it being like yelling, you know, controlling every single thing that they did. Keeping it like just keeping it shitty. Mm-hmm. Like the whole environment was just like oppressive and shitty. And she, even though she was originally a loving mother and a full person, she like turned into a total, I mean, she was completely traumatized.
Yeah.
So even though she loved her children, she couldn't really maybe give them that love because she was just trying to survive.
Yeah. So do you think it is, do you think most criminals are that way because of their childhood traumas?
Absolutely.
But do you think it's possible for criminals to have a healthy parental unit, like let's say you and Brian as mom and dad? Is it possible for someone to just be born that way?
Well, I always fear like, you know, like in the worst tantrum moments, I'm like, oh no, is he going to be just like a troubled soul who never makes it in life?
I know.
But I don't think so.
You don't think it's possible?
I really just don't think so, because our children, like, they will have emotional support mm-hmm. forever. They mm-hmm. will have, you know, like, they have somewhere to go to. They don't have to be alone in their pain. No, sure. I'm sure it is. There are situations where someone is born and there was nothing.
Well, weren't they saying like the Columbine mom was like, I never saw it coming. But that doesn't mean, that doesn't necessarily mean she was this engaged, loving parent. It could just mean maybe the kid felt really alone. Maybe felt unseen.
Yeah. Or stuff was going on at school and he didn't come home and tell her, I'm being bullied every day. And then even if he did, let's say, then she's like, oh, just ignore them, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever her response was, maybe it wasn't very useful. I mean, look, like we've just been talking about how like depressed I've been and how talking about it multiple times in the last 2 weeks has made all of the fucking difference. Mm-hmm. So like even a kid, if you're your whole upbringing, and you never have anyone to talk to about your real feelings.
So is it the mother's fault that he went and shot all those kids?
No, I don't think it's her fault necessarily in that case, if she was like nice enough. But
yeah.
I mean, who's at ultimately the person that fault is the person who did it. And there's really, that's the shitty part. Like,
yeah.
Except I will say, like, you know how lately all these kids have been like grabbing guns and killing their parents or killing themselves or killing their siblings accidentally because it was just laying out there.
Yeah.
Like I read one the other day where a 2-year-old killed his mom who was 33 weeks pregnant.
What?
Yeah. She was like doing laundry and there was a gun in the bedroom with them.
Oh my God.
And he just picked it up and shot her and killed her.
Like, are guns that easy to pull the trigger?
I don't know. Like, clearly they are.
Like a 2-year, I'm thinking of Shay's little 2-year-old hand.
Well, imagine if it's like a semi-automatic weapon where it's just like rapid fire pulled. It's so, and like to have that in your fucking house at all.
And just out there lying around for a 2-year-old to grab.
Right. Like it's a normal day and here's my soda mm-hmm. and here's my sandwich and here's my automatic weapon. What?
It's a normal Tuesday.
Right. So in that case, though, I do think the parents should be charged and put in jail, like 1,000%, which sucks because then now that kid's, you know, doesn't have a home.
Doesn't have a mom either.
Well, he also just shot his mom. That kid is going to need therapy.
Or a little brother or sister. That's horrific. So sad.
It's horrific. It's horrible.
I know someone who, I think he was a teenager at the time. He's actually my aunt's ex-husband. And he accidentally killed his mother with a gun. I think he was either cleaning it or looking at it. She walked in his bedroom and it just accidentally went off, shot her, and he died. Or she died. And it's totally fucked him. I've never talked to him about it personally. No.
Oh my God.
I don't think he ever talks about it. But through my aunt, like, he's had many, many problems because of it.
Yeah.
I also don't think he's ever gone to therapy, but... How do you recover from that?
Crazy that you know an adult who did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't recover from that. I think the only way you actually like move on with like semi-normal life is just tons of therapy constantly for the rest of your life.
Ugh.
Horrible. Horrific. Guns are horrible. Get rid
guns
of them.
Guns are horrible. So
there are no guns in this movie.
There are no guns in this book. In this book. But I brought this up a little last night. Because
he kills his wife with a knife.
That she got out to try to protect herself.
Mm.
And he struggled and got it. And
I think that moment was like one of, I mean, obviously it's like a climax moment, but like she had gotten free. She had gotten free of him. And, you know, Safi, the detective, was the reason that he sought her out again, right? Because she kind of like, I mean, it wasn't her fault, but, and who knows what he would have done. Obviously, you don't know what he would have done, but like, she was the reason that he kind of flew off the mm-hmm. handle and went back to Texas to kill her. And it's like,
and what was his reasoning again that he needed to kill her?
I don't remember. Maybe because that was how they found him. Maybe he blamed her for that or something.
Oh,
Jenny.
Yeah.
I don't really remember exactly why I don't know. I read it like 3 days ago. I forgot. But
I'm the worst at trying to remember. If you tell me any title of a book, I cannot tell you if I've read it.
No.
It never sparks. Some people are really good about it. Like, oh, I read that. I loved it. And it's like,
people are really good at that.
It's like not our next book club book, which we'll announce.
I've read it.
But anyway, I brought this up last night and I want to talk about it again of just execution and killing people for crimes. So I just find it so fascinating and barbaric that there are certain crimes where we as human people say, that was really bad. You know what, guys? It's like pitchforks. Like, do we agree? Yep. Yeah. Okay. So you need to die now because of what you did. And we're going to kill you. And we're going to invite people that are very close to you. Sit down and watch this happen. Because we deemed that particular crime was not great. That guy over there, it wasn't good either, but like he can live. Like, who are we to like say?
Would you say that you have a stance on whether it should be legal or not?
Well, and then I read in the news that this dad, execution style, shot all three of his sons, 3, 5, and 7 years old.
What?
And
where? Not here. Here?
Not here. Somewhere in the United States.
But in this country.
In this country. Oh my God. One of them started running away and he ran after him, brought him back, shot him. So
what the fuck?
If that happened and those were my children, I would want that man to die. And then I'd probably kill myself. Because why am I even living anymore? So I can see how people want the vindication. They want, like, how do you get to live when you did that to me?
Yeah.
But from afar, this is the first time I really, like, I read it in the book and I'm like, this is just really weird. Humans are weird.
Yeah, humans are weird. I have always been against the death penalty because the idea of like you said, like it is an active choice. We're like, okay, we're gonna kill him. Let's do great. Good solution. I don't think that's ever a good solution.
Mm-hmm.
And like, while the, you know, prison system is not obviously that great either, like that all needs to be kind of like improved upon, I still think I prefer the idea of somebody kind of living out their life miserably
in a little cell
versus
what if they're not living it miserably?
They are. I mean, sure, they can make, you like, can
how
make,
can you really enjoy,
right? You can make it as good as you can make it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like, no, that is a half life. That is not a real life.
Yeah. 23 hours inside your cell.
No, it's horrible. And I even hate saying that, like, that's okay for people. It's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're just your husband does that and you come home and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe it's worse for them to have to sit in that cell and think about what they did.
Right.
And like, live
if
with
they,
that.
If, right, because if they are murdered, they're off That's the hook.
It. They're off the hook.
They never have to think about it again. I don't know.
I know.
I don't. I just don't know why we do it.
But there was a part in the book when he's dying and he said that there's one overlapping moment where he finally felt like light and free and like love for the first time. Do you remember
that? No, but that's interesting because when he's at the Blue House with his niece and his sister-in-law, like, I felt, it seemed that he was feeling, you know, all of these positive feelings. And I'm trying to go back and remember if, because you know how, like, when you're in his brain, it's like, you're in his brain. He's like, he's talking in the second person. He's mm-hmm. like talking to you. He's mm-hmm. using you a lot. And then when you're in other people's brains, it's like third person. So it's like describing what Safi's mm-hmm. doing. But like, I don't know if there was a time in the book where you're in his head while he's at the Blue House.
Oh.
Like, I don't know if the Blue House is all just observational and if we at all hear exactly how he's feeling and experiencing that. Like, I don't think we are. So you're kind of left to assume that he's doing really well and that he's feeling very positive mm-hmm. and he's full of love and like redemption in mm-hmm. these moments. But like, maybe he wasn't. Maybe because you also worry that he's going to do something.
Oh, yeah. The whole time I'm like, OK, how much longer until he's going to do something?
Right. But he never does.
He never did.
I mean, until, you know, he could have eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Did your other book club like it?
Everybody liked it.
Vicky's in two book clubs, by the way.
Yeah.
So ours last night, everyone for the most part really liked it.
Yeah, everybody liked it.
And then yours, everyone liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not like, I think half of us said we would recommend it. I don't know that I would recommend it, honestly.
I'd be like,
it's not a book I would go like, oh my God, you have to read this book.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say you have to, but I wouldn't been like, I wouldn't say like, don't waste your time. I'd be like, sure.
No, I wouldn't say that either. But I would just be like, you know, it's
interesting.
It's interesting.
And I think I liked that it was just like a different type of book than anything I've been reading.
Yeah, totally. And I think that the way that she wrote it, Danya, was all of the characters. I believed all of them. I liked all of the other characters.
Yeah.
And even him, to some degree, you kind of like him. A little bit. Like, there's parts of him where you're like, you can relate to him.
I was going
to
say, I don't know if I like him, but he seems like a human, like a normal human with feelings. And he just makes really bad choices with these overwhelming sad feelings he has. And it's like, you feel for him.
Well, one thing that came up is that, like, where he puts the dead fox in Safi's bed.
Yeah.
And the reason he did that is because he overheard the girls laughing at him, right?
And yeah, it was because
he overheard them laughing,
yeah,
not at him, just laughing.
And assumed
that it was him. And we were talking about how there's that saying where it's like, I think it's like Margaret Atwood says it, where it's like, men's biggest fear is women laughing at them.
Mm.
Women's biggest fear is men killing them.
Oh.
Like, it's so true.
That's the perfect quote for this book.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Because right? It's his insecurities and his lack of love and whatever.
I'm sure that dad who killed his kids, it's his insecurity and his inability to feel and experience and express feelings.
Oh, love, my God.
Pain, fear. Right? Like, mm-hmm. that's what it is. Like, men are taught to suppress all of their feelings and women pay for that. It's fucked.
So fucked.
Yeah.
But love the book. So anyway, our next book is called The History of Love.
History of Love.
Right.
When it was chosen last night, I was like, oh my God. It's called The History of Love by Nicole Krauss.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this book so long ago. When was it originally published? 2005.
I read it in 2020. So that makes sense why I don't remember anything.
Okay. I read it way before that. And but I will say that the thing I remember most about this book, and it has nothing to do with the plot or the characters, is that as soon as I finished it, I was so sad. I just remember being so sad that I wouldn't get to know the rest of their story. And I like missed them like instantly. I missed them.
See, and the fact that you can remember that from 2005.
Yeah.
and you don't remember pretty much anything.
No, I don't
or remember. Any book.
I'm excited to That's go back great. And read it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get that.
The History of Love by Nicole Krauss. And then we will have another little mini episode to discuss that.
Yeah. Our next book club to talk about this is on July
27th, I believe. So if we get questions, like if you guys like read it and you finish it, even if it's like super duper early, because like I finish books really quickly too, so does Michelle, like just send in questions or thoughts and we'll save them for the discussion so that we have, you know, we can talk about anything you specifically want to talk about. But we hope you enjoyed this little mini book episode, and happy reading.
Happy reading.
Bye.
We hope you loved our first book club episode.
I had a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it. And if you have any book lovers that you know, invite them to the book club.
It's the only way we're going to just go global with this.
Let's do it. Book lovers unite.
Baklava.
Baklavers?
Baklavas unite. Oh my gosh. We're so glad you're here. Come back again. Okay, bye.